commandment. Neither can it be held to apply to accidental killings, or killings in self-defence, or in defence of property or family. Laws, too, provide all grades of punishment for different kinds of killing, from very light penalties up to death. Manifestly, then, the commandment must be interpreted, "Thou shalt not kill when it is wrong to kill," and therefore it furnishes no guide to conduct. As well say, "Thou shalt do nothing that is wrong." Religious doctrines do not, and clearly cannot, be adopted as the criminal code of a state. In this uncertainty as to the basis of good and bad conduct, many appeal to conscience as the infallible guide. What is conscience? It manifestly is not a distinct faculty of the mind, and if it were, would it be more reliable than the other faculties? It has been often said that some divine power implanted conscience in every human being. Apart from the question of whether human beings are different in kind from other organisms, which will be discussed later, if conscience has been placed in man by a divine power, why have not all peoples been furnished with the same guide? There is no doubt that all men of any mentality have what is called a conscience, that is, a feeling that certain things are right and certain other things are wrong. This conscience does not affect all the actions of life, but probably the ones which, to them, are the most important. It varies, however, with the individual. What reason has the world to believe that conscience is a correct guide to right and wrong? The origin of conscience is easily understood. One's conscience is formed as his habits are formed, by the time and place in which he lives. It grows with his teachings, his habits and beliefs. With most people it takes on the colour of the community where they live. With some people the eating of pork would hurt their conscience. With others, the eating of any meat. With some, the eating of meat on Friday, and with others, the playing of any game of chance for money, or the playing of any game on Sunday, or the drinking of intoxicating liquors. Conscience is purely a matter of environment, education, and temperament, and is no more infallible than any habit or belief. Whether one should always follow his own conscience is another question, and cannot be confounded with the question as to whether conscience is an infallible guide to conduct. Some seek to avoid the manifold difficulties of the problem by saying that a criminal is one who is antisocial. But does this bring us nearer to the light? An antisocial person is one whose life is hostile to the organization or the society in which he lives. One who injures the peace, contentment, prosperity, or well-being of his neighbors, or the political or social organization in which his life is cast. In this sense, many of the most venerated men of history have been criminals. Their lives and teachings have been in greater or lesser conflict with the doctrines, habits, and beliefs of the communities where they lived. From the nature of things, the wise man and the idealist can never be contented with existing things, and their lives are a constant battle for change. If the antisocial individual should be punished, what of many of the profiteers and captains of industry who manipulate business and property for purely selfish ends? What of many of our great financiers, who use every possible reform and conventional catchword as a means of affecting public opinion, so that they may control the resources of the earth and exploit their fellows for their own gain? No two men have the same power of adaptation to the group, and it is quite plain that the ones who are the most servile and obedient to the opinions and life of the crowd are the greatest enemies to change and individuality. The fact is, none of the generally accepted theories of the basis of right and wrong has ever been the foundation of law or morals. The basis that the world has always followed, and perhaps always will accept, is not hard to find. The criminal is the one who violates habits and customs of life, the folk ways of the community where he lives. These customs and folk ways must be so important in the opinion of the community as to make their violation a serious affair. Such violation is considered evil, regardless of whether the motives are selfish or unselfish, good or bad. The folk ways have a certain validity and a certain right to respect, but no one who believes in change can deny that they are a hindrance as well as a good. Men did not arrive at moral ideas by a scientific or a religious investigation of good and bad, of right and wrong, of social or antisocial life. Man lived before he wrote laws, and before he philosophized. He began living.